On this week's episode of What the Puck, we talk Caps Fan Fest. Does Burakovsky start the season as a Capital? And can the Capitals actually get some cash for Mike Green? All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast, and it is the summertime, but we just saw a hockey game. Caps Fan Fest was this past weekend, and I actually got to see my buddy Coach Dan, but this time around, he's Skyping in. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. You look good on Saturday, you know? We don't get to hang out very often. You got a beard look going. I always have a beard look going. Oh, man, you got
to
keep
that I had the beard for a work thing, but no, I'm back to the usual, like, 5 o'clock shadow thing that I have going on. But no more. It's the summer, man, and I work in a summer camp.
Okay.
You know, I'm outside time to time, and it's a little hot.
Can't be itchy.
Today was actually very nice, but it's normally pretty hot, and the beard, it wasn't even that thick, but that was a little much.
Well, you know what? Come playoff time, I'm hoping you're going to be rocking that playoff beard a little bit longer.
I'll bring it back for that. We got to make the playoffs first, dude.
That's very true. That's very true. And let's talk about FanFest to start off with. It was this past Saturday. It is becoming a yearly tradition. I absolutely love going to FanFest. But this year, I got to say, I got a feeling like they really scaled back this year. I mean, they've already taken away the Baltimore game in the preseason. They've taken away the Caps.
They didn't want anybody to get
hurt.
Seriously injured by just looking at that arena.
They took away Caps Convention. They said they're focusing everything on the Winter Classic. But, I mean, if you go outside and you see, like, all the stuff that was going on for kids, there really wasn't that much. The sales at the Kettler store sucked. I mean, there was nothing really on sale. It was, like, 20% off, which was not, like, a buy everything
you
can.
You could go and get a Volpatti shirt for, like, $5.
Hey, you
if
know
you need,
what?
You need to wash your car. You need an extra rag or something.
That is a deal. That is a deal. But I usually walk out of there like halfway done my Christmas shopping, and like I'm already finished. You know, so many people up spending a couple $100, but I spent like $40 at the team store. I was very underwhelmed, I gotta say.
I mean, it's not the main reason I go, but it is nice always when you have sales and stuff. And you'd think on a day we're gonna have a lot of fans, maybe. I mean, you can keep the prices up, so that way you can make a little bit more money, but you can also lower them, so that way you can, get more sales, probably, because people are more willing to spend when they see just the word sale in general or clearance or whatever. I wanted one of those swanky polos that you were rocking at there.
Yeah, that
Under Armour Caps polo. I went in there and I was like, ooh, maybe I'll get one. And I was like, $50. And I was like, ooh, never mind.
Well, you see, that was $50 for like the Reeboks one. The Under Armour one I got last year, and it was like $25. So maybe it was because of the off year. They didn't have, you know, like playoff t-shirts or something like that. Maybe that's why there wasn't a lot of stuff. But like nothing for kids either. I got two God kids, man. And I usually get them Caps gear, and there was nothing on sale there. So I was pretty disappointed with that. I went to the equipment sale at noon, and of course, by the time I got there, everything had been picked over. You know, there were no name signs left of anybody good. There was one pair of goalie pads, but most people were buying them, and
what the hell are you going to do with someone else's goalie pads if you're not goalie?
Yeah, I don't want the goalie pads.
Because they're going to smell. You know they're going to smell. You put them in the basement, your basement's going to smell like you know what forever.
Well, you know what? I do have an Aaron Volpatti stick from last year that I bought.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I have one used player glove, which they're supposed to come in pairs, but I could only find one 2 years ago. This year I bought two practice jerseys and two developmental camp t-shirts because they were only $10. But there really wasn't a lot left, man. But let me tell you, the sticks, like people go there who actually play hockey. I do not play hockey, but people go there to buy these sticks and because they're a lot cheaper than just buying a brand new stick. Some of them are used, some of them aren't. But there were an insane amount of Urbom, Volpatti, E-Rat, and Grabowski sticks left over at that sale.
I'll get some of those. I mean, you know, even if I don't play for the team anymore, it's still pretty cool to have. I mean, I know that the other thing is you can do is you just hang out around practice. No, my girlfriend got Jason Chimera stick because it got broken and they were going to throw it away. And she's like, can I have it? And so she has a part, I think it's the top half, maybe a little bit more, of a broken Jason Chimera stick. So, it's, I mean, you always kind of get interesting stuff in weird ways.
Yeah, you know, I do love the equipment sale. I wish it was a little bit better this year. The regular Kettler store sale, I wish it was a little bit better. But let's talk a little bit about scrimmage. I only stayed for actually, no, sorry. Before we get to that, I do want to bring this up. I got to meet Barry Trotz on Saturday, and let's talk a little bit about this guy because I stood in the autograph line with him. He was the nicest guy I have ever met in the Capitals organization. I do a lot of the autograph signings. I have stalked a couple players after practice one day. Ovechkin was a really rude guy. Great player, just doesn't like to deal with the fans, and I get it. But Barry Trotz, he took time. He shook every single person's hand. He said inspirational stuff to the kids. He kept saying, thank you for welcoming me to the organization. It's really happy to be back. It's kind of like going full circle. You know, I told him I was from Baltimore, and I was happy to have a skipjack, you know, a part of the Capitals organization this way. But the funniest thing that happened, I mean, besides him just being an awesome guy, the funniest thing that happened is this little kid in front of me, I went up to him and he said, I have a question for you. And Barry's like, well, what's your question, bud? And the kid says, do you know Carrie Underwood? And he goes, actually, yes, yes, I do. You know that she's married to Mike Fisher. And he said, let me give you a little bit word of advice, kid. If you grow up to be a player like Mike Fisher, that's good. But if you grow up to be a man and be responsible like Mike Fisher, that's great. And he goes, and plus you get a pretty cute wife because Carrie Underwood's pretty cute.
And she ain't that bad to look at.
No, not at all. So, like, he made me laugh, and I'm like, wow, look at him. He's inspiring these little kids. Well, you know, speaking up to the kids. I mean, I met Dale Hunter. I didn't meet Adam Oates. He always seemed like he was kind of standoffish. But this is going to be, besides just his style of coaching, the way he interacted with the crowd, the way he talked to me and everything, he's a very humble guy. I'm interested to see, having that type of coach, what it's going to do to these players, because besides just being a new coach and a new system, his attitude is very different than what I've noticed from coaches in the past.
Well, that's the thing I like about having a coach that's been there before. I mean, he hasn't won the big game or anything, but he's been around long enough that he knows how to win. He knows how. The thing I like is that he's known how to do it in a system or with a team that doesn't have a lot of money. So now he's going to have the opportunity to bring in top-of-the-line talent, or at least something resembling top-of-the-line talent. Can he do better? And there's an article I was reading from the Washington Post's Alex Pruitt, who's their Caps beat reporter. And this term that keeps getting thrown around is the Capitals way. And I was trying to figure out, like, you know, what exactly does that mean? And one of the articles, there was a quote from assistant coach Lane Lambert where he said, I think it's team first and you're able to count on the guy right beside you, across from you. There's a lot of togetherness. And I know it seems sort of silly to think that this is an issue considering they play a team game, but I think that's a great thing to hear and that these guys will be backing each other up. And you've seen times in the past where they're always willing to do that. And then there's times in the past where, you know, somebody will go and get trucked and no one does anything about it. You know, you've had that last season, especially with Tom Wilson, where, you know, anybody even stares at one of the players wrong and he goes up and drops the gloves. You don't want that from one of your youngest guys and someone that you really want to develop offensively, not just being able to punch people in the face. But it's nice to see that, you know, it's good to see that these guys, they have a plan. To hear that Trotz and what is it, head coach Troy Mann in Hershey, they're going to go no longer than 2 days without speaking to each other to make sure they're on the same page. I think that's a great thing to hear. To hear that it's not just going to be about the Caps, but it's also Hershey and I guess potentially in South Carolina where there's going to have this continual system going on. So as these players rise up through the system, they're going to continue to play the same way. So it's not when they come from Hershey to Washington to be called up. It's not, okay, how are we going to play tonight? What's the system? What are we going to do? They're already going to be ingrained in what the system is and what they're doing. And I think having a guy who's been around the block before, he's been here, he knows what he's doing in Barry Trotz was the perfect hire for this team right now. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen this season. Earlier we were talking about if they make the playoffs. I do think they're going to make the playoffs this season, even with the question marks regarding the second line center, the question marks regarding how much they're paying Brooks Orpik and whether Holtby is truly their number one guy. I do think they have a great opportunity to go in and make the playoffs this year. You know, the biggest question is provided guys can stay healthy and this whole thing with Barry Trotz works out, because we've seen it before where, you know, some top of the line coach comes in and things don't work out. But I think this team right now, the way things are going, I think they definitely have an opportunity to make some noise during the regular season and into the postseason.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. I'm really interested to see what he does, what he brings to the table here. And I want to see if he brings any of that humbleness that he kind of has, whether or not he instills it in any of these players, because maybe some of the players out there that are on the Capitals have a big head, and maybe, you know, if they get knocked down a peg or two, they might be able to become a better all-around person, all-around player. So I like this guy's attitude. Before meeting him, I was like, oh, you know, that's a good hire. I think he'll do a good job. It seems like he's kind of like, you know, Oates, and he's kind of like Bruce, and it's like a nice little mingle of the two, and maybe he'll do well. But after meeting him and hearing him talk to the fans and everything, I'm fully comfortable with this guy being the head coach of the Capitals, because I honestly think he'll do a great job. Like you said, he's got the experience, and then getting to see his interactions with the fans, I mean, it shows even more that how much he loves this game and how much of he's not. This isn't just going to be like, let's see if this is going to work out for him. He really wants this team to be successful. So I'm very happy to see what Barry Trotz brings to this team, and I'm very happy I got to meet him. I think that was a great experience, a good introduction, literally from coach to fan base. I mean, really, he just shook everybody's hand, so it was really cool. So let's talk about the scrimmage. That's what everybody goes to Fan Fest for. See these kids that we might not see for a couple years, but see what they can bring to the table. A lot of names that we already know were there. We saw, you know, Nathan Walker. We saw Garrett Har. We saw Andre Burakovsky. We saw our newest draftee, Verana. We saw Madison. I think it's Madison Bowie is how you say his name.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. There's a lot of great talent on this developmental team. What did you like? What did you see from these guys during the scrimmage? Were you impressed with what they were bringing to the table? Do you think that this is going to be a good class of guys coming in?
I mean, it's hard to say if I saw anything that I really liked, just because you have boys versus boys. You're not having these guys playing against real competition, in the sense that you have a lot of the guys there will never make it to the NHL. I'd say if, you know, however many guys are actually on the ice or on the benches, maybe three or four of them, if even that much, maybe even two of them will ever play in the NHL, maybe three. So I think that, you know, it's tough to say really what you like that you saw, except for the fact that I saw that the players that stood out to me really were, aside from Jakub Vrána, were Andre Burakovsky, Riley Barber, and Nathan Walker. And that's what you want to see, because these are, well, Walker not as much, but like Barber, Burakovsky, and Vrána are some of your top prospects. You want to see them go out and be able to dominate talent or players that are of the same age as them to some extent. But we really need to see them against older guys. We need to see them in training camp to see if they really can compete at the NHL level or even the AHL level. The problem would be is if you go into a developmental camp like this, and Vrána, Burakovsky, Barber, and Walker are getting their, you know, butts handed to them. That's a problem. If they go into something like that and they're not playing well, that is a problem. And I kind of saw that in Vitek Vanacek. I felt like when I was watching him play that he wasn't on top of his game. And I think that for a second-round pick, that's kind of a problem at developmental camp. But a team didn't feel that way since they signed him to a three-year entry-level deal. And according, again, to the Washington Post, Alex Pruitt, he's likely to spend next season with second-tier Czech club HC Benteke. So, you know, I didn't exactly like what I saw from him, but you know what? Maybe he just had a rough day, not the end of the world. He is a young guy. He's not going to be around anytime soon playing for the Capitals. Maybe next year it's unlikely, but you might see him next year in something like South Carolina. So there's always that possibility, but you never know. But, you know, what I saw from Vrána, I thought was great. Burakovsky, I thought looked good. I think he's going to get a look in training camp. I think he's definitely going to go. I don't know where you're going to line him up. I mean, just thinking about where the Caps roster is going to look like gives me a headache. Just trying to figure out, like, where the pieces fit. Like, okay, Ovechkin, Backstrom on the first line, no idea who's going to be with them. And then where's second line center? How's that going to work? Where's Light going to go if he can stay healthy? If he doesn't, like, trip over a blade of grass and his body falls apart? You know, how's the third line going to look? Where's Tom Wilson going to play, provided he comes back healthy? So it's tough to see what this lineup is necessarily going to look like. I think the defense is pretty much set. But going back to developmental camp, I'm just glad that the players that were supposed to stand out did stand out, because if they didn't, that's definitely a problem. And going on with Vrána, the Caps also signed him to an entry-level deal, but he's going to be loaned out to Linköping of the Swedish Hockey League, so he won't be coming over this season. You know, maybe towards the end of the season, you might see him get to go and play the end of their season, maybe some postseason stuff with the Hershey Bears, which definitely will be fun to see. I'd love to get up to Hershey game at some point. I like to go to a hockey game this season. I didn't go to any Caps games last season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, there were some other extraneous outside of hockey reasons that I wasn't able to go last season. But I definitely want to go to a couple of games this year and maybe get to go up to Hershey once or twice, because that's a lot of fun. It's a fun time right now because, you know, you've made these big deals in the offseason. It's great to see that they focus on the defense, because that's been their big problem. It's great to see that these young guys are coming. I think Vrána is going to be a very good talent for this team, even though he won't be playing for them this season. I think Burakovsky is going to be quite talented. Riley Barber still going back to college, because I think his quote is he has unfinished business. But I think he's definitely going to be a talent for this team.
Does he mean like a degree?
No. I think because didn't they lose in like the what's it called? The Frozen Four
or something maybe, like that. Yeah.
And so I think he's a little still beat up about that. He wants to go back and you know, have that opportunity again. It's fine. Honestly, dude, even if he was like, I'm going to go make the Caps, I don't know where you're going to put on the team. Like, even just looking at the roster right now, like I was saying before, it's a freaking nightmare in terms of trying to figure out who people are going to fit. Who's going to be – all right, so I'm going to ask you. You got Backstrom. You got Ovechkin. Now, it looks like Ovechkin's going back onto the right side. Who's playing on the left wing on the first line? Go.
Oh, man.
You're taking too long. Who's first line? Come on.
I would see, you know, maybe you put a guy like Kuznetsov up there with them. That might be a little bit too much for him to handle.
So who's your second line center?
I mean, they're talking about like. It's got to be like at that point.
Okay, but he's gonna get hurt when the strong gust of wind goes by. So who's your second line center?
Oh, man.
These are the problems. Like, do you put Brouwer? I mean, Brouwer's a righty on the right wing normally, so is that a problem? Probably move him to the left.
Do you move Beagle up to the second line?
No, wait. Am I wrong? Are they putting Ovechkin back on the left?
They haven't decided yet.
Oh, I feel like I read something a while ago. Now I can't remember. Either way, I think they actually are going to put Ovechkin back on the left. I think I misspoke. He might go back to the left side, so you could potentially put Brouwer up there. Do you put Like up there? Is Kuznetsov going to go over to the right? Because I believe he was playing on the left last season towards the end. If Kuznetsov is your second-line center, who does he play with? Is he with Brouwer? What the hell are you going to do with Johansson? Is Fair the third-line center, even though he's normally a winger? Although, I thought he was actually pretty good last year as a center. Are you going to mess at all with the third line with Joel Ward, Chimera, and Fair, which means Wilson's, again, if provided he's healthy, playing on the fourth line? Is he playing with Beagle and insert minor league-checking guy to play there, or is that where Burakovsky or Barber might play? Like, there's definitely a lot of questions that are going into training camp as to who's going to be playing where. So anyone going out there and trying to play NHL 13 – or NHL 14, when it comes out in what, like September?
Yeah.
When that comes out, you know, good luck trying to figure out what this roster is going to be, because right now it's kind of up in the air. You don't really know where anybody's going to line up, or even if there's going to be a trade between now and training camp that may change freaking everything, because it looks like there's no real second line centers left on the market. Grabowski's on Long Island. Good luck with that one, buddy. Ribeiro was always a possibility, I guess, but he got picked up by Nashville as well as Derek Roy, so he's gone too. So you don't really have any second-line centers out there anymore that you could pick up. So you're going to have to go and make a trade. So who's it going to be, and what do you have to give up to get him?
A lot of questions there, Coach. A lot of questions. I don't have any answers for any of them. So I'm kind of intrigued to see what they're going to do, just like you are. I did not remember about Marcus Johansson, which is a terrible thing for me to not think of. But maybe
it's not that he's not good. It's just that you don't know where to put him.
Yeah, I mean, he's played well with Ovechkin before, so maybe you kind of see those guys work together, or he could play the second line. I don't want to see anything happen to Fair, Chimera, and Ward. I mean, that line works so well.
So you're dealing with Wilson.
Wilson, I guess he just sits on the fourth again, but the only way I think this guy's going to get better is if you move him up. But right now, who knows where he'll land, because coming back from injury, who knows what's going to happen there. Yeah, I don't know. I found it interesting after training camp that when Coach Trotz was talking about Burakovsky, he kind of made it – he didn't say it outright, but he kind of made it sound like he does have plans for him if Burakovsky – and I have to assume he's going to be a Bear this coming season if he is a full-time Bear, whether or not he at least starts the season with the Capitals, or if he's called up if someone were to get hurt. Like, if Tom Wilson doesn't start the season, I think there's a good chance that Burakovsky kind of takes that place of Tom Wilson until he comes back and is at 100%. So it was very interesting to see or hear the reaction from Barry Trotz on Burakovsky, because out of everybody at the scrimmage, he looked like a guy who could play in the NHL now just from the sheer size of the kid. I mean, he is a big dude. He's got and you see him in like interviews and stuff. You're like, oh, he's not that big of a guy. He looks like a teenager, but he's a pretty tall guy. He's pretty, you know, he's built like an NHL player. So he definitely could stand his own ground on the ice. It's just worrying about the experience that he lacks right now at the NHL level. But they definitely have plans for that guy. So if he is brought up next season, I got to assume it's going to be for somebody who's going to be hurt Maybe not staying up the entire time, but at least getting a game or two. And that might you know, fall into where we decide who's going to go where. Burakovsky could be on the back burner this season, but he's at least on the minds, I believe, of the coaches to decide, like, where people are going to go, especially if certain players are hurt.
I mean, certainly, in regards to injuries, that definitely throws things interesting. But if you go on, you make a trade. Let's say you want to go out and acquire a second-line center, and you move out Mike Green and Marcus Johansson. I don't know. Then maybe you open up a roster spot for Burakovsky to come in. You put him on the fourth line, like you were saying. I was thinking the same thing with Wilson's going to miss the first couple of games, or even if you want to rest in the first couple of games, give him an extra week or so to get healthier. You know, do you then, you know, do you give Burakovsky that spot and say, hey, kid, show us what you can do? It's early in the season. You have that opportunity to maybe, even though it's not a great idea, you have an opportunity to maybe lose a few games while this kid gets better, or at least shows you what he can do. So there's possibilities. But sort of the top six role right now is where I'm kind of concerned with in terms of how they're going to line up. Because you have two of the three spots on the first line, but do you really have a third guy that should be sitting on that line?
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting. With Tom Wilson's – let me move my mic up. I think I sound kind of crappy. With Tom Wilson having at least an NHL year of experience, that kind of gives him an edge. So if they were to move him up, I'm not saying he's going to be playing on the same line as Alex Ovechkin, but it might be good to have somebody like Tom Wilson to be on that line with him, because he's the type of player I think can get into, you know, the crease with the goalie, and he's got a big body. So he's the guy who will get the rebounds and kind of get those dirty goals. I can see him playing kind of like the way that Dustin Penner should have been used last year. I can see Tom Wilson kind of filling
– that was a giant waste.
Giant waste of time. And I believe he's already –
it shouldn't have been. That's the thing. Penner could have been great, but Oates just – whatever. Oates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, if you do have a guy, if you're looking to give a guy more minutes, Tom Wilson, I think he could play that role of a gritty player like Dustin Penner could have been. So do you see him go up to the second line, maybe play a few minutes with the first line possibly if you're up by a few goals? Yeah, give him some of that. Give him a rub. Give him that experience. So Tom Wilson, I think, could definitely make waves if they give the kid a chance. But I don't want him playing on like the first line with Ovechkin every single game this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely I definitely would expect to see him playing on the power play at some point. I would not be surprised at all if they were like, you know what, and throw him out there. I mean, not just throw him out there. They're going to, you know, give him the opportunity to practice. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Wilson getting more opportunities, whether it's on the power play or on the PK or maybe, you know, there's a game where if they're up by a lot or down by a lot, unfortunately, where you see him get some time, not necessarily, maybe not with Ovechkin, but on the second line with Kuznetsov or something, and seeing what they can sort of build from there. But, yeah, I mean, I agree that the first line could use someone more like a Wilson who can crash the net, but then again, Ovechkin's kind of that guy who can crash the net. He's just got so much other talent in terms of controlling the puck that's not all he can do. But, yeah, that could be potentially Brouwer or Like that could just sit there. You know, you got to find a guy that can sit there and just park his butt in front of the net and grab the rebounds. Basically, Mike Knuble. We need Mike Knuble.
Remember that guy,
like,
man?
Younger Mike Knuble.
Yeah, that poor guy. He got a raw deal at the end. But, yeah, so there's plenty of options, or there's not plenty of options, but if you were to trade someone away, let's talk about this real quick. There's been a lot of talk on the web, on social media, about Mike Green being traded away. Let me ask you, why do you think that Mike Green has now become a target for the trade-away action? Because, like, everybody was talking about specific players, you know, Martin Erat trying to get him out of here last year. Why has that fallen on Mike Green? Is it his inconsistency with his health? Did he not play well? Or does he just not fit into the new Barry Trotz way of doing things?
I think when it comes to the fans, and I don't mean this insultingly in any way, but I think it's because of the injuries. You know, he's not the player he once was just because he can't stay healthy. I think if he can stay healthy for a longer period of time, then he definitely could become that player again. But because he's not the player that he once was, a lot of fans are like, well, just get rid of him. And I'd mentioned before trading Green, I'm not advocating trading Green. I think one of the biggest reasons you do trade him, depending on what you get back, is, I mean, unless someone's offering you a great deal, then you do it. But I think one of the biggest reasons just could be just to free up that cap space. That's a ton of $6 million and change that you'd be freeing up. off of the books. Now it depends on what you get back. If you get a player back that's $3 or $4 million, then it's not as much. But the point is, you'd free up a lot of cap space by moving him out. I think the other thing is when they signed Matt Niskanen, they brought in a guy who maybe doesn't have quite the puck skills that Green has, but he can still put the puck in the back of the net, and you still have Orlov there and Carlson. And none of these guys are quite the offensive player that Green is and can bring the puck up like he does. But if they can stay healthy, you know, it helps the team out more in the end. So I think that's why Green is potentially expendable at this point with the way this defense is set up. I mean, let's look at the defense outside of Green. So let's take him off the table, whether it's by trade or injury. You've probably got – you got Carlson. I don't know if the pairings are going to work out. You got Carlson, Alzner, Niskanen, Orpik, Orlov, and then, I mean, Erskine, potentially, Way, Schilling, Schmidt. You have somebody else you could bring up to play potentially. I don't know how the defensive pairings are going to work out. I know McClellan had come out and said he potentially sees Carlson with – was it Orpik or was it Niskanen? Either way. You know, and then Alzner with the other guy. And you could see that probably with Carlson and Orpik, and then probably have Alzner and Niskanen. Then you have Orlov and Green. I mean, that's a lot of money to be thrown to a third-pairing defenseman at that time in Mike Green. So I think the biggest reason with Green is, A, the injuries, so that makes him inconsistent, and, B, the money and the fact that you can replace him by throwing sort of his point totals between Orlov, if he gets a full season or something close to a full season, Niskanen and John Carlson.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll definitely see what happens, but the defense was a big magnifying glass on it this past off season. So bringing in two guys definitely made you think that they were going to shake up something and possibly a defenseman leaving town. So whether Mike Green stays or not, I like Mike Green's attitude off the ice, on the ice. I mean, when he's healthy and when he's hungry, man, he's completely on. And I love seeing this guy play. But his injuries and his concussions that he's had in the past definitely raise concern about whether or not he can play a full season. I mean, he missed almost half a season, I guess. What was it, the 2012 season?
Every season.
Yeah, I mean, he is constantly hurt. So you also got to wonder if you can bring in any kind of cash as well with him, because whoever's bringing him in, even though he's a great hockey player, you know, they have to know about his injuries in the past and what'll happen around that. So, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Mike Green. If he leaves, does this team become better defensively? I mean, I don't think so. I think he definitely...
Well, he was never a defensive stalwart. Like, he wasn't going to come out and win any defensive awards anytime soon. He's gotten better at it. I think some of that has been the reason for his decline in scoring, because he spent so much more time focusing on the defensive aspect of his game, which is nice considering his position is technically a defenseman. But it's, you know, I think if you lose, it depends what you get back. But let's say you trade Green and you acquire forwards, right? So it's not really going to help you necessarily defensively in terms of just, I don't know, defensive pairings. But no, I don't think defensively this team is any worse. Offensively, maybe somewhat, but defensively, I don't think that they're any worse than they were before. But what you mentioned before, I don't think there's anything to do with Green and Trotz's style. I don't think there's anything to do with that necessarily. I think a lot of it has to do with the money and the fact that he can't stay healthy. And if someone's willing to overpay to get him.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Mike Green. I think there's a lot of ladies that would be upset if he left. But
I think more with Brooks alike.
Yeah, that too. I know a specific lady who has met Brooks Lake at an establishment in D.C. and said he wasn't the nicest guy to her. But whatever, you know, that's their problem. But I think that's pretty much it for this week. Did we miss anything caps wise? Because there's nothing really else going on.
No, I think we got everything. It's just, you know, it's a little quiet. But I think things, you know, I definitely don't think that the transactions part of the summer are over by any means. I do think that there's more to come.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And real quick before we end up,
and now nothing will happen, or it'll happen tomorrow.
It will happen tomorrow. That's what's gonna happen. Before we leave, let's just talk real quick something that we were talking about before we went on air. Is Toronto is already talking about their big 100th year anniversary, and they've come out and said
that doesn't happen for 30 years.
They want everything, though. They want the draft. They want the Winter Classic. They want the All-Star Game, all to celebrate the Maple Leafs' 100th anniversary. So, what's your take on this?
Oh God, my take on it is Canada being Canada. No, my take on it is I mean, okay, yes, they are probably one of the more historic teams in the NHL, no question about it. However, I don't think that necessarily means that they should get everything. And to hear the quote from Tim Lewicki, who is the CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, just pissed me off because it's like, what makes you so freaking great? He says, it's not a splash. I just think Toronto, it's our 100th anniversary, and this is the greatest hockey city on earth, which bite me. I think we owe it to our fans, and we're telling the league that they owe it to our fans. I'm going to interject right here and say, what the hell makes you think that the league, the NHL, owes it just to your fans? They owe it to every fan over the last two freaking lockouts they thought was so great for their league because the first one worked out so goddamn well. They don't owe it just to the fans of Toronto. You owe it to the fans of every freaking team, every city that you have a team there. So shut up, Lewicki. He finishes with, they don't disagree. I'm assuming that means the NHL. They don't disagree with them. But we've got to go through a process to win it. I think we'll win it. I think we'll get there. But we got to go bid on it. Well, yeah, you have to go bid on it. No joke, man. But no, I don't think they deserve everything. Yes, you can make a big deal. You give them the All-Star game, maybe the draft. But the Winter Classic, I don't think is that big a deal. If they want the World Cup of Hockey, I don't care. But I don't think they should come out and be like, it's our 100th anniversary. Give us everything we want. Nope. I don't think that's how it should work. You don't just give in to everything just because they have their 100th anniversary. Every time someone has an anniversary, we make a big deal about it. Is that the plan? So, yeah, Toronto, you're crazy.
Crazy guys.
That's what I think.
Well, you know what? 100 years, that's a pretty big deal. Whether you get everything because of that, I don't know. Due to it being Canada, I think the biggest thing they should probably get is the Winter Classic that year, just because outdoors in Canada. Canada has not hosted a Winter Classic before. They've done the Heritage Classic, but not the Winter Classic on New Year's Day. So that could probably be kind of cool for a 100-year anniversary. But the other stuff, I mean, if you want to host a draft, have at it, man. If that's what you guys want to do, you know, I don't think that's really a big fan attraction. And the All-Star game, yeah, that's fun too. But again, I think do what you want, Toronto. You know, if you think you deserve it all, make that bid and hunt for it if you can. But you know, maybe share the wealth with some other hockey teams out there. You know, there's plenty of other ones that haven't had All-Star games before. Maybe some certain other cities would like to host that, but we'll see. So I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. If you want to talk Washington Capitals hockey, or you just want to talk to myself or Coach Dan in general, tweet to us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach, and you can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. That is our central hub for all things Brando Cash Entertainment. You can get information about this podcast and all the other podcasts we're putting on the interwebs from Brando Cash Entertainment. Plus, we're going to be adding some video and photography pages to that page as well, or to that website as well. So make sure you check that out. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandoCash. That's where you get information socially about our show, about the call, and everything else going on in Brando Cash Entertainment. Lastly, don't forget to like and follow What the Puck on Facebook and Twitter, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, and on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Plenty of stuff you can check out there. I'll be posting pictures up from the Fan Fest on our Facebook page, so definitely check those out. Now, we do this show completely for free. We love doing it, but since it is for free, maybe you guys could help us out and help us maybe get some sponsorships so we can actually make some money off this bad boy. So let's, yeah, I would enjoy that. So please let people know socially on the web that you are a Washington Capitals fan. You listen to What the Puck, and they should too. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. And I think I even said Tinder last show.
No, don't get weird. Don't make it weird.
Or OK Cupid or Grindr. Oh, I don't know.
What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know. Just tell people about What the Puck. I mean, make it a conversation thing. Go on Chat Roulette if you need to and tell people that way you listen to What the Puck. Just help us get some more download numbers, man. We want to keep doing this. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. It is summertime. When news breaks, we'll be around. And we'll talk about it after it breaks, which will probably be tomorrow. So maybe we'll do a show next week. Until something happens, we'll talk to you guys later. Say, let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.